Are you a good person? Has anybody ever said that about you in your hearing? To be described as a good person by others is one of the accolades of our society. To be praised as being a good person is, I suppose, to be thought of as being kind and generous and thoughtful of the needs of others. I suspect that there's rather more to it than that, and because it involves such a consistency of motive and action, I'm reluctant to describe myself in this way. Perhaps the biggest conundrum for me when it comes to this kind of self-assessment is to ask, in those moments when I have acted like a good person, did I do that because I'm a Christian, or were my actions simply the product of being brought up in a middle-class family that had certain conventional standards of good behaviour tied in with a duty ethic? Paul is wrestling with the same dilemma in today's epistle reading, although the background assumptions of author and reading audience are rather different. Paul has been raised in the strict ethical tradition of Jewish religion. Jews in the ancient world were thought of as very moral people. That's what drew some Gentile converts into a second-tier membership of the local synagogue. They were impressed by the ethical lives of Jewish people they knew. As Jewish people read their scriptures, they discerned in them a set of rules for good living. There are a lot of rules and ethical instructions they read off from their Bible, but theirs wasn't a painting by numbers, pedestrian plodding implementation of a rule book. They thought of the law, as they called it in capital letters, as God's generous and thoughtful provision for them, as he anticipated just about every possible contingency and that could crop up in their lives. God had good advice to offer in the law in so many situations that might have otherwise left them in a confusing and demoralizing dilemma. Having tried with every atom of his being to live in this way, Paul has come to have major reservations about the capacity of the law to deliver the good life in such a way as to make one at peace with God. He is insistent that Gentile converts shouldn't be saddled with this large chunk of Jewish religious tradition as the road into a moral life that's pleasing to God. But often the problem with Gentile converts is just the opposite. They sit lightly to moral expectations and high standards of good behaviour. Telling them to throw away the rule book can lead to some startling immoral and bad behaviour in the infant churches. The general ethical standards of the Roman Empire were pretty low, and often new converts brought these bad behaviours with them into the life of the church. Paul responds to this challenging pastoral situation by insisting on a few basic ground rules of Christian behaviour, but then goes on to propose a startling innovation. Adapt yourselves no longer to the pattern of this present world, but let your minds be remade and your whole nature thus transformed. Then you'll be able to discern the will of God and know what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, let the Holy Spirit get to work on your interior being in such a way as to change you from within, so that you will become capable of a fresh and independent insight into moral realities. This independent moral insight will give you the capacity to have a right judgment in all things and to respond effectively and appropriately to unexpected ethical dilemmas as they arise. Instead of reading off a rule book, you'll have a sort of spirit-motivated interior moral gyroscope that will guide you through each situation as it develops. This in turn depends upon the fundamental orientation of your life. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, I implore you by God's mercy to offer your very selves to him, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for his acceptance, the worship offered by mind and heart. This complete offering of self to God is tied in with the notion of sacrifice. The worship of God in the temple in Jerusalem revolved around the sacrifice of animals. That is what priests did. They ritually slaughtered animals on a regular basis because the most precious thing you could offer to God, could give back to God, was life itself. That strikes us as weird and rather repugnant. But then we've lived for 2,000 years of a reconfigured notion of sacrifice thanks to Jesus Christ. His complete offering of himself on the cross removed the need for any further animal sacrifice, and had above all effected a significant transaction between heaven and earth with immense potential for changing the relationship between human beings and God. The whole of the life of Jesus was a complete offering of himself to the Father. In every situation he found himself in, his constant desire was to do what his loving Heavenly Father would have him do. When preachers set out to expound the Lord's Prayer, they often become preoccupied with a line-by-line examination of the content. Yet in a way, the most important thing about it is not so much the words, as the way the prayer orientates the believer into a firm focus on the Father and into an ardent desire to do what he would have us do. This is what Paul means when he invites his hearers and readers to offer their bodies as a living sacrifice to God. When your inner moral core has been activated in such a way as to make your external actions consonant with the will of God, then your unselfish and God-centered priorities and activities become the sacrifice that's pleasing to God. What is more, you will then, bit by bit, over the gradual unfolding of your life, become a fully developed personality. As your moral core becomes more and more spirit-influenced, then you will grow as a person into full Christian maturity. There will be both a sanctified common sense guiding your actions, as well as a wise moral discernment that sees all the issues involved in the emerging ethical conundrums of your life. The spontaneous ethical originality that the Holy Spirit will develop within you will not only make you a more well-rounded person, but will also be a great help in the extraordinary ethical dilemmas that we now find ourselves in. The quote on the front cover of this morning's Pebble points out that we must now make ethical decisions about situations and opportunities undreamt of in the biblical world. We now have the capacity to interfere with and manipulate the very building blocks of life itself to our advantage and possibly to our eventual ruin, and we won't find the answers about what to do about these complex situations by just looking up the appropriate quote from the Bible. In a sense, Paul was ahead of his time with his proposal for a spirit-guided ethical originality that can spontaneously offer new solutions for complex and emerging moral dilemmas. When it comes to what we now call bioethics, the human race requires the wisdom of Solomon to find its way through the thicket of difficult decisions about the possibilities of adapting and changing human beings. Paul has offered us an undergirding resource for this. For us in our everyday lives, Paul's wise words this morning challenge us to check out whether we are developing into a fully developed personality, complete in its emergent Christian maturity. This involves self-knowledge about our strengths and weaknesses, a humble acceptance of our limitations, and it involves becoming wise about people, about what motivates them and drives them. In the middle section of Romans 12, Paul gives a thumbnail sketch of the behaviour and conduct of a fully developed Christian personality. I will conclude with it. Love in all sincerity, loathing evil, and holding fast to the good. Let love of the Christian community show itself in mutual affection. Give pride of place to one another in esteem. With unflagging zeal, aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord. Let hope keep you joyful. In trouble, stand firm. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and practice hospitality. Call down blessings on your persecutors. Blessings, not curses. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in agreement with one another. Do not be haughty, but go about with humble folk. Do not keep thinking how wise you are. Never pay back evil for evil. Let your aims be such as all count honourable. If possible, so far as it lies with you, live at peace with all. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.